Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We're talking about the blessing. Amen. And as we go into this, this will just become more clear to you. We've been talking about the blessing, and the power of the blessing is what we're going to talk about this morning, the power of it. So I want to begin by going back to Genesis. You know, Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Hallelujah. Thought I'd let you know. Genesis is the beginning. Genesis actually means the beginnings, you know. That's one of the means of it. And so let's go there. Verse 26, you got it? And this is God and talking, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Thank God we have dominion. Yeah. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Charles Capps used to say, we have authority over creeps. Amen. So, I like that. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, created him. Now you have to understand, God created man. You look in the mirror and you say, this is what God looked like? God, you need some hair. How many think I ought to get some hair? Nobody? Okay. I was talking to Phyllis about that. You know, I've got a couple pastor friends that have hair, and I didn't know they didn't have hair because they do have hair. And she said, that's not their hair. Okay. I didn't know that. I thought, well, if they can buy that, why can't I? Right? Amen. I didn't even know it, you know. I mean, I've known them for a number of years, and I didn't know they didn't have real hair, you know. One of them actually was preaching one morning. He said, you know, pastoring, I've been through two sets of teeth and two sets of hair. I'm like, I was talking to Phil, I didn't know he didn't have it. That's not his hair. You didn't know that? So I thought, well, I can ask him where he got his, or if he's got any left over he's not using or something. I don't know. But I don't know. You don't seem to be for it. All right. So God created them. Verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And now notice this. This is what I'm going to talk about. And God blessed them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God blessed them. Now that means more than just, you know, when you sneeze and someone says, God bless you. You know, when God blesses you, you be blessed. You are blessed. So I think, you know, I think we need to discover exactly what happened here. I mean, I don't know that I know everything that happened here, but I think we ought to at least look into what happened here when God blessed them. You know, the psalmist said, thy blessing is on thy people. And when you study the Old Testament, you find out that they really believed in blessing. I mean, in Genesis 27, you know, when Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau, and Esau was the oldest and Jacob is the younger, and Jacob's mother, Rachel, or is it Rebecca. Jacob's mother, Rebecca, decides that she's going to get the blessing, you know, the of the firstborn on Jacob, who was the younger. All right? How many remember that story? And they connived and they cheated, they deceived. You know, remember what he did? You know, his father was about to die, and he called his oldest son, Esau, in and said, you know, bless me with some of that savory meat, you know, venison, that wild game. I want to eat some of that before I die, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to speak the blessing over you. And Rebecca heard it, and she talked to Jacob and said, I want you to go get some kids from the goats, some young goats, and bring them in. I'm going to fix them, and I'm going to make a meal for your father. And I'm going to take the skins and I'm going to put them on you, because Esau was a hairy man. He must have been really hairy. You know what I'm saying? I've seen hairy guys before, but not anything like that. I don't really care to see it, honestly. But, you know, and so he put the skins, and he sends him in there to act like he's Esau to get that blessing. And I thought, you know, they really believed in that blessing. You know, and then later Jacob, you know, he wrestled with that angel, and he said, you know, he said, bless me. You know, the angel, I don't know, I don't understand this, but the angel wasn't prevailing, and they were there all night long, you know. And finally, Jacob, the angel says, let me go. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. So they had a great thing in the Old Testament about blessing. And, you know, even God told Moses, he said, I want you to speak this over the children of Israel and bless them. And put my blessing on them in number 6. So they believed in the blessing. Well, they got that from God. He's the one that originally said, and God blessed them. He put a blessing on them. Now, what exactly was that blessing? What did that blessing do? Well, you know, the psalmist said it a little different. He said, you've crowned him with glory and honor. You've crowned him with yourself. So that blessing, listen, that blessing was on them to prosper them. Everybody say to prosper. Come on, say that a little bit. Say it a little better.
Prosper.
All right, that's the way you say that. You don't say prosper. That's too important of a word. Prosper. See, to prosper them. Now, what does that mean? It means in all areas of life, see. You know, you find that throughout the Old Testament, if you just do a word study on the word bless, you'll find that God not only blessed them financially, but he blessed them whatever they put their hand to, see. He blessed them with different things. And let's just say it this way. In all areas of life, they were blessed to excel. As believers, we should excel because of the blessing. See, the blessing. See, they believed so much in the blessing that one time, you know, Israel was in their journeys before they reached the promised land. They came into the land of Moab. And the Moabite king named Balak saw them. And when he saw them, he was afraid of them. So he sent for a man by the name of Balaam. Anybody remember the story? Balaam. Now, we don't know everything about Balaam, but a little bit that we know about. Balaam evidently was not an Israelite. But some way or another, he had come into contact with Jehovah, Yahweh, God, the Lord God of the Israelites. And he was a prophet. And he had a reputation that who he blessed was blessed. Who he cursed was cursed. So much that the king sent some of his men to get him and said, you know, if you'll come and curse this people for me, I will promote you and I will give you great wealth. So he tells them, the men that came to him, he said, I can't do any more or less than what the Lord says. You know, I can't just make this stuff up and it work.
Amen.
See, I can't just make it up and it work. And so they went back and they told the king, said, well, he's not coming. So the king sent more honorable people to him, higher ranking officials in the government. And they came to him and said, you know, the king wants you to come and curse this people. And if you do, he's going to promote you and he's going to bless you financially. This is a modern translation. I'm just my translation here. And so he goes with them, you know. And the king brings him over and he shows them. They're down in this valley. They're up on a hill. He shows Israel. And he says, you know, I have the ability to promote you. I have the ability to give you great wealth if you'll just curse these people. And he says, well, you know, I can't do any more than what the Lord says, you know. So he looks over and he starts prophesying and he starts speaking blessing over them and good things about them. And the king's going, whoa, 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 wait a minute here. Whoa, I brought you to curse these people and now you're blessing them. I don't think you understand that I have the ability to promote you. I have the ability to make you wealthy financially. All you got to do is just curse these people. Now, I know it didn't work here, so let's go over here to another place so you just see just a smaller part of them. Maybe you're seeing too many and you can't feel like you don't have the power to curse that many. Let's just go look at this smaller part. And he goes over there and he opens his mouth and he starts to bless them again. And the king, you know, the king, he gets so frustrated. He says, basically, this is modern translation, just go home. I brought you to curse him and you blessed him. He said something. He said, I can't curse whom he has blessed. That blessing's too strong for me to overcome. Hallelujah. Come on, are you with me now? That blessing is too strong. If God put the blessing on him, I can't do anything about it. See, you need to know that blessing, if you'll just believe it, it's that strong. The devil can't do anything about it. Now, here's what he did. You find it in Revelation chapter 2. He said, I can't curse him. I can't curse him. But he told Balak, he told the king, Balaam told Balak, he said, if you can get them to sacrifice to idols and commit fornication, they'll get rid of the blessing themselves. I can't do it. But I love that. I can't do it. It's too strong. Yeah. Are you with me? What these people have a revelation? They had a revelation of the blessing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Are we blessed today? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now the reason that we don't see more of it is because one, we didn't know it, and two, we don't believe it. And I'm going to share some other things next week. Well, next week, Brother James will be here, but the next Sunday or whenever, I'm going to talk about ways to walk in this blessing. We need to know. Amen? Amen. Now, all right. Actually, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 3 that God sent Jesus to bless us. That's the last part of the book of Acts chapter 3. Well, what did he say? Jesus himself said, I've come to give you life. Life more abundantly. Amen. To the full till it overflows. Go to Proverbs chapter 9. Or excuse me, chapter... That's the wrong chapter. Chapter 10. Go to Proverbs 10. I want to look at some scriptures on this morning. Do a little teaching, preaching on it. Kind of mix it up a little bit here. Proverbs chapter 10. Because you need to know the blessing's on you if you've been born again. Glory to God. That blessing is on you. And we're going to take a look and see just what this blessing does, the power of it. It'll cause you to prosper in all areas of life. Amen. You know, everything we do, you know, unless we're just out of the will of God, it ought to be successful. It ought to be blessed. You know, we get out of the will of God, of course, he's not going to bless anything out of his will. We know that. We're smart enough to know that, right? But whatever we do, we ought to be blessed at it. Amen. And if we're not, then we should be like looking into that and saying, why isn't that blessed? You know what I mean? I mean, Brother Hagin had something going on one time, and it wasn't being blessed. I'll never forget what he said. He said, you know, I went to the Lord and said, you know, I mean, hey, why isn't this being blessed? He said, because I never called you to do it to start with. Right? So anyway, somebody one time wanted me to get a tent and go preach in the parks, you know. And I told him, I said, look, you buy the tent, you set it up, you invite me, I'll come. But I'm not doing it myself because God didn't call me to do that. Are you with me now? See, that's not my anointing. That's not my calling, you know. And I preach for Pastor Carter when he puts his tent up. But it's his tent. And he put it up. Amen. Now, he's anointed to do it, but I'm not anointed to do it. Are you listening now? Amen. Now, Proverbs chapter 10, are you there? Verse 22 says, the blessing. Everybody say the blessing. Here it is, the blessing of the Lord. It makes rich. Woo, hallelujah. And I like this part, and I'll explain it to you. He adds no sorrow with it. Now, that when you dig into this, where it says he adds no sorrow, the word sorrow also means toil. Now, I like some different translations. I've got a Bible at home. It's like called The Word. It's got 26 different translations in it. So you can go to, and so you just go through there and you can look at different translations of a verse, you know. And the different translations of this verse, where it says he adds no sorrow with it, one translation says, no effort can substitute for it. Hallelujah. None of our self-effort trying to be blessed in life will substitute for us just having the blessing working in our life. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to talk to you about how to have the blessing working, but not today. I just want to talk about the power of today. Amen. Another translation says, toil yields no increase like it. I like it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and toil yields no increase like it. Not like the blessing. We ought to work hard. Have you understand that? Yeah. But don't depend on that. Right. Depend on the blessing. Amen. Are you with me now? Yeah. See, there are people that they work so hard they can't ever come to church. They're cursing their life doing that. They're stuck in a rat race and they're never going to get out of it. They need to learn, look, the most important thing in my life is God. That was very, very weak. But I live this way, so I'll preach it. The most important thing in my life is God. Pharaoh's not going to tell me I can't come to church. He's not going to do it. He never has and he never will. He's not going to do it. I'm going to be in the Lord's house. Well, you can love the Lord and not be in his house. Well, yeah, you can, but you can't obey him. He said, be here. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee in this hour. You know what? Listen, a lot of people have all these religious ideas, you know, like you know, you run into people, well, I do internet church. Well, show me that in the Bible. Internet's not in the Bible. Well, you know, I got Facebook. You mean de-Facebook? Well, I just feed off of YouTube. You mean SpewTube? Oh, Instagram, Pukagram. You know what? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said, assemble yourself together. Amen. So, now, why do some people? Now, you know, I understand. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, you know, there's not times that a job may knock you out. I understand that. But some people live their lives that way. They're never here. I've got to work. I've got to make money. Listen, you're letting Pharaoh tell you what to do. Why don't you get some boldness and get you another job? Why don't you trust the blessing? I didn't say go out and quit your job and then come and get, you know, tap me today and say, I'm one of them. No, you weren't. You weren't in the prayer line Sunday morning. I don't remember everybody who was here, but if you weren't in that line, I'll probably remember that. Okay. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And there's no effort on your part can substitute for it. We need to go after the blessing more than we go after money. All right? We need to go after the blessing more than we go after careers. We need to go after the blessing more than we go after anything in life. Believe for the blessing. Hallelujah. The blessing. Go over to Genesis chapter 39. Let me show you this. This is a man by the name of Joseph who had the blessing on his life. And I want to show you what it did. Genesis chapter 39, talking about the blessing. God blessed them. He didn't curse them. He blessed them. I had some people knock on my door yesterday. I saw them pull up. You know, they pulled up. It was a couple ladies. They knocked on my door, and I thought, well, I'll go get it. You know, I know Phyllis was, she was dealing with some things. So I'll go get the door. You know, or just let them knock, whatever. But I decide, you know, I'll go get the door. And so I go to the door. And they were from a certain religious persuasion group, you know, different kind of believers. And so they asked me, they said, well, do you believe? This was their question. So we're going around sharing a verse, you know, people. This is our question. I want to ask you a question. I said, sure, go ahead. And they said, do you believe that God causes the evil and the problems in the world? I said, no, it comes from the devil. They said, well, that's the way we believe. I said, well, good, hallelujah. I believe some other things right and you'll go to heaven. Hallelujah. But God's not the problem. He blessed man, not cursed him. And so he put the blessing on us. Man, if God blesses you, I mean, what would you think if, you know, Bill Gates is a pretty wealthy guy. What if you think if you got a call from him and he said, look, I want to meet you at Starbucks today and I want to bless you. Anybody showing up besides me? I'm going to be there. I don't care if you like coffee or not. Get you some tea. Yeah. Why? Because I know he has the ability to really bless me really well. So if God said, I blessed you, that means more to me than Bill Gates. I mean, God, I don't know whether God's got shoes on, shoelace, I don't know. I just know that if he does, Bill Gates couldn't even afford them. You've heard a story about a guy who, when he passed on, he loved gold. You know, he loved gold. And so he had gold that he stored up and kept, you know, in his house. And so when he passed on and he went to heaven, Peter was at the gate, and this guy had this sack with him of gold. And Peter said, "What is that?" He said, "Well, it's just something I wanted to bring into heaven." He said, "Well, you can't bring anything up here except yourself." He said, "Oh, please, I just wanted to bring this sack. Just this one, that's all I ask, just this one sack." Peter said, "Well, really, you're not supposed to bring anything but yourself." He said, "What is it anyway?" He said, "Well, take a look." He opened it up, and Peter said, "What do you want to bring pavement for?" They paved their streets in it. Hallelujah. I don't think we realize how wealthy God really is. Amen. And when he said, "I bless you," then we're blessed. I'm telling you, we're blessed. Well, why didn't it work? Well, I'm going to talk to you about that. I'll just give you a little thing. One little thing that we're going to talk about. It operates by faith. You've got to believe for the blessing. Amen. Now, all right, Genesis 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. Now, you understand, you remember now, he was sold by his brothers, right? You know, they threw him in the pit. You know, they had an issue with him. And they threw him in the pit. They were jealous of him, threw him in the pit. And then they sold him to the Ishmaelites. All right, so, and I notice this. And now, this is the condition where Joseph is at. He's been thrown in a pit. They were going to kill him. One of the brothers talked him out of it. And so now he's sold, see, and he's just a slave, see, right? He's a slave. Everybody say slave. All right, that's what he is. He's just a piece of material they're selling. All right? And the Lord, but notice this, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. So here he is, a slave, and he's a prosperous or successful man. Why? Because the Lord was with him. The blessing was on him. I want you to read on now with me now. Verse 3, and his master saw. You know, people should see the blessing on our life. His master saw that the Lord, I was listening to my friend. Let me stop right there. I was listening to my friend, Pastor Tammy Eveline, and she was talking about how some people, you know, were saying, talking about, and they were speaking derogatory of her and her husband, Pastor Chuck, who's two of the finest people on the planet, if you know them, and I've known them for a long time, two of the finest people, two of the most integrous people in the ministry you'll ever want to run across. They're honest as the day is long, preach the Word of God, love people, do nothing but good for people, and then people slander them. People are people. And so they were saying, well, they just live like they're millionaires. They must be millionaires. I like what she said. She shouted, "Woo! Glory to God. Let that come to pass, Lord." Hallelujah. What they're seeing is the blessing. When the blessing's on you, when the blessing's on you, you just look good. Hallelujah. You know, now you may not believe this, you can cast this aside, but the Lord showed me this years and years and years ago. I'm talking about like 1982, 83. I saw in a vision. I don't have very many visions. I'm open for more, but I don't make them up either. All right? So, but I saw this. And in this vision, it was like there was a man, and he was being held upside down by his ankles. There were two hands, one on each ankle, and he was being shaken like that, and money was falling out of his pockets. And the Lord said to me, and this is before I was just a babe in the Lord. I hadn't been preaching very long. And the Lord said to me, he said, in these last days, I'm going to shake the earth, and I'm going to shake the money out of it and get it into the church.
Amen.
For the preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something else, just to bless his children.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the church has been persecuted ever since it was birthed in the book of Acts. And so was God's people in slavery. Are you with me now? Just like the Egyptians were in Egypt and they were in slavery and they were mistreated. When they got ready to leave, God blessed them financially. He said, I'm going to pay you for that. They're going to pay you for that. And the Bible says they stripped Egypt, which was the wealthiest nation on the planet at the time. Remember the famine had come and everybody brought their money into Egypt to Joseph? All the nations around had brought their wealth into Egypt. You find that in Genesis. Because of the famine that was going on. And there was grain in Egypt because of Joseph storing it up for 7 years. And they brought all that money in there. And when Israel left, the Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. Now, why did God do that? Well, he wanted to pay them back. But then he wanted to build a house for himself. You can't take up an offering off broke slaves. They don't have any money. I think if we get a revelation of this, that if God's going to do what he wants to do, he's going to have to bless us to do it.
Right.
He doesn't just float $20 bills down out of heaven. He's going to have to do up. You know, you don't just pray for a new building for a church and then everybody gets away and ducks. Boom. I mean, it doesn't happen that way. God blesses people. Hallelujah. So, you know, every time we got a project on, you shouldn't be, oh, no, not another project. You have to say, glory to God, I'm about ready to get blessed. Because if this is a project of God, God's going to bless me to get it done. That's what you did to Israel. So. All right? So, Joseph, you know, he's just a slave, but he's blessed. And let me tell you something. Look, you don't have to have the highest paying job in the city for God to bless you. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Joseph obviously is not in a great position here, naturally. He's a slave. But God's blessing's on him.
Yeah.
Woo, glory to God. And his master saw, verse 3, that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And from the time, and it came to pass, from the time, everybody say from the time. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing, here it is. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Now, that wasn't there before Joseph came along. Because it says from the time that he made Joseph overseer, he started to prosper. When he brought this slave boy into his house and put him over everything, he started prospering. He saw it. He realized the blessings on this boy. And verse 6, it says, he left all that he had in Joseph's hands. He knew not aught, didn't know what he had, except the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. I think it meant he was handsome and muscular, kind of like me. Anyway, what'd you laugh for? Verse 20, same chapter. Verse 20. That might have been the funniest thing you heard all day right there. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison. Now, you understand, we won't read the story, but you know, he was good looking. And Potiphar's wife, you know, she got the desire in him. And she wanted him to lie down with her, you know. And he said, no, no. She just kept at it. And one day he's in there by himself. All the other men of the house are gone, and she sees him. And she says, lie with me. And he said, I can't. How can I do this sin against God? And she grabbed onto him, and he let her hang onto his coat. He took off and left his coat there. And there, you know, and it made her angry because he wouldn't, you know, respond to her. And so she tells her husband, this Hebrew tried to rape me, and they put him in prison. So we know he's there innocently, right? All right. So Joseph's master took him, put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Hallelujah. See, you don't have to be in the best of circumstances for the Lord to be with you. The Lord was with Joseph. He showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And what he did, the Lord, notice this, the Lord made it. Not Joseph. I said, not Joseph. The Lord made it to prosper. Hallelujah. I remember reading years ago a guy by the name of L.G. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name right, but I think I'm pretty close. L.G. Letourneau. I remember reading his story one time. He was a businessman here in America that made heavy equipment, machinery. And I read his testimony one time, many years ago, and he told God, you know, I will give you 10%, talking about not just personally, but his company, 10% of everything we make, you know. And the Lord blessed him. And the Lord gave him ideas. And he bumped it up to 20%. Then he went to 30. He finally got to where he was given 90% of his income, I think personal and the business, and living rich off 10%. He was that blessed. And one time, it was years ago, they were building roads to Alaska. It was like when they were, you know, trying to get roads built there. And of course, they needed a piece of machinery that could do the job they needed done, and there wasn't one like it on the earth. So they came to Mr. Letourneau and said, can you make a piece of equipment that'll help us build these roads to Alaska, which we call it today the Turnipole. It's an earth scraper thing. And he said, well, I don't know. He said, I'll pray about it. And he prayed. And God gave him a vision of this machine. And he just told it to his engineers. You know, he wasn't the engineer, but he was the visionary. And he had people that fulfilled the vision. So he told them what he saw, and they made it. But it wouldn't work quite right. And they said, well, we don't understand. And he said, I don't either. So he said, I'll go pray. And the Lord showed him there's just a little minor adjustment needed to be made on that piece of machinery. So he came back and told him, you know, to redo that. And it worked fine. But the guy was dependent on God. He was dependent on the blessing. Not on his wisdom. See, the Lord made it. Come on, are you with me? The Lord made it to prosper. Now, you know, I personally believe Chick-fil-A is so blessed because of the Lord's made the place to prosper. And you may not even like Chick-fil-A. Brian blasphemed and said it was just okay. I don't know if Phyllis has forgiven him yet over that one, but I think she's working on it, Brother Brian. I think she's working on it. But why is it? They're wrapped all the way around the building all the time. And you ever notice how the thing just operates like, this isn't a commercial for Chick-fil-A. I got no stock in Chick-fil-A, I don't think. But you ever notice how it's just like a well-oiled machine you just pull in there and boom, 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 boom. I mean, it looks like most places you'd be there for like 45 minutes. Right? Chick-fil-A in 10 minutes, you're around. If you're in the back of the line, There's like 25 cars in front of you. Most places, that's where your afternoon's going to be spent. You're going to be sitting there waiting on your taco for all afternoon. Why were you late for work? Coming back from that? Well, I was waiting on my taco. Chick-fil-A, just bam, bam, bam. Excellent customer service. Polite employees. Right? Good food. Not open on Sunday. And making more than a lot of other people. Why is that? It's the blessing. Because the Mr. Filet guy himself, can't figure his first name. He said, how can I have my cash registers going when church is going? Think about it. God bless that. He realized there's 6 days a week in which man can work. But why do I want to keep my employees from going to church on Sunday morning and then ask God to bless my business? And close it. Now, I'm thankful there's some heathens own some of these restaurants. We got some place to go eat on Sunday morning. You get depressed. You drive by Chick-fil-A on Sunday morning. There's nothing there. I mean, I want a Chick-fil-A sandwich. It's Sunday. What am I supposed to do? Amen. I think it's kind of like manna. You're supposed to gather it during the week and then lay it up. Are you with me now? Yeah. Come on. I got to get going here. You getting anything this morning? Yeah. Can you give me just a few more minutes here? Yeah. All right, let's go. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, what do you think about it? These people, you know, I didn't bring them into the house. You know, Phyllis was dealing with some things. I didn't want to bring them in, you know, but I'd love to have brought them in and just set them down. You know, these people knocked on my door and said, was God the cause of evil and problems in the world? And I said, no. And they said, well, that's what we believe too. And I'd like to have brought them in and just talk to them a little bit about, you know, Jesus Christ and who he is and all. But you know, there's a lot of people who believe God's the problem. You know, your insurance company believes God's your problem. If a tornado comes through and blows your garage down, they're going to say, act of God. Well, I'm sorry, it wasn't my God. It might be your God, but it wasn't my God. I'm going to tell you what my God does. Remember when the devil came, he was all upset. He says, you know, he came before God in Job, and he said, does Job fear you for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. I want you to notice, it tells us what God does. He puts a hedge about us, about all that we have. Hey, man. About our stuff. Come on. See, now the devil, listen, the devil, he wanted in there, you know. And we could go in and talk about why he got in and so forth and all that. But what I want you to know is God did not do this to Job. The Bible says Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job. Now you come over in the New Testament book of James chapter 5. It says this. It talks about you've heard of the patience of the Lord. And you've seen the end of the, you've heard about the patience of Job, and you've seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is full of compassion and tender mercy. Where it says you've seen the end of the Lord, it literally means this, and the New King James says it this way, you've seen the end intended by the Lord for Job. So in all that trial, and Job's life went on, God had a purpose in mind. And says, you see the end of the Lord. Well, what was God's purpose? Well, you find it in Job 42:10. It says, and God blessed Job with twice as much as he had. Amen. I said twice as much as he had. God's in purpose through the whole thing was to get Job twice as much as he had. He was already the richest man in the East. And God said, I want to make you double the richest man in the East. Amen. Have you read in Isaiah where God said, for your trouble, I'm going to give you double? Yes. It's in Isaiah. It's in Zechariah where God said, I'm going to give you double. I'm going to double you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Man, if I come in here someday and double, don't criticize me. Shout. I used to have a pastor friend. I liked the way he looked at it. He said, you know, I'm praying for stuff and believing God for stuff. Other people are getting blessed, you know, and I'm the one believing for the money. And they're getting blessed, you know, and they give their testimony. He said, I don't get mad at them. I shout with them saying, well, thank God. God's got them out of the way. Maybe I'm next in line. Amen. Amen. I mean, dear, I remember the days, dear God, Oral Roberts wants 25 men. I just need 2,500. Can you get him taken care of so we can get this line moving? Shout when your brothers get blessed. Shout when your sisters get blessed. Amen. Look what God said in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land which he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee, great and goodly cities which you built not. See, this is the blessing, see. And houses full of good things which you filled not. And wells digged that you dig not. And vineyards and olive trees which you planted not. When you shall have eaten and be full, now notice this, then beware lest you forget the Lord, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now go over the 8th chapter, Deuteronomy. I want to read a couple verses there. You get anything today? Yeah. We're about to wind down here, but I want you to see this before we close. Verse 17, Deuteronomy 8:17. And you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. What's that mean? Well, I worked hard for that, Pastor. How many of you know you're not supposed to say that? You're not supposed to take the glory? Have you ever seen the old movie Shenandoah? Thank you. The old movie Shenandoah stars Jimmy Stewart. How many ever heard of Jimmy Stewart? Okay. How many have been alive on the earth at least 20 years? How many have ever seen, the Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life? That's Jimmy Stewart. All right, that's Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart's in this movie, and he's a farmer, and he's got several sons and a daughter. And his wife has already passed on, so he's raising the kids by himself. He's down in the Confederate States when the Civil War is going on, you know. And he decides he's not joining it. And his boys aren't joining it. They're going to stay there and work on the farm. He says, I ain't got anything against anybody. I ain't joining it, you know. So they're there on the farm, you know. And they have this, they're having a meal and all, you know. I mean, it's like when Grandma used to fix it, you know. Corn on the cob, fried chicken, mashed taters, gravy, homemade bread. Hallelujah. You know. And so he gets up, and I don't remember exactly how his prayer went, but he stands up to pray. Lord, we thank you for this food that we worked hard to grow. We planted it. We tilled it, we harvested it, we put it away, but thank you anyway. Real humble-like, you know what I'm saying? But what he totally missed is verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it's he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It's he that puts the blessing on you. In other words, he's your breath, he's your life. And he gave you the strength. He's the one that created the seed. He's the one that created the earth. He's the one that instituted laws of sowing and reaping. It wasn't you. You did the least amount of it. It's the blessing. It was funny, but it was like, you dummy. Amen. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying, look, here's a couple things you need to know. Number one, you need to ask yourself, do I give God the glory for what's in my life? Or do I take the credit and say, you know, I mean, hey, I got a good education. I worked hard to get. Well, thank God you did, but don't give that the credit. You know, do I give God the credit? Do I thank God for where I'm at right now? See, maybe you're not in the, and we'll talk about this next week. Paul talked, or not next week, but whenever we touch on the subject again, Paul talked about the fullness of the blessing. See, there's a fullness of it. If there's a fullness, that means there's a lesserness. That's not a word, but I made it up. So anyway, we need to know that no matter where we're at in the blessing, we thank God. You know, listen, let's just say you went to your house and then, you know, you're happy, but then you go to your friend's house and they got a lot nicer house. And now all of a sudden you've lost your thankfulness for your house. Are you with me now? What you don't know is your friend that has a lot nicer house, they go to their friend's house who has a lot nicer house, and now they've lost their Thanksgiving for their house. Are you with me now? And what you don't know, how many know, how many can follow this? This one right here. I mean, there's always somebody that's got a nicer house. There's always somebody that's got a nicer car. You know, by the time you think you got the best vehicle at church, somebody will show up with another one. Doggone it. How many know you should rejoice and be thankful for what you have? Remember the Lord thy God. Isn't it amazing how you were so happy and thank God for the house you got? Thank you, Lord, for giving me this house. And now all of a sudden you forgot it was the Lord that got it for you? Amen. Now see, here's the problem. That can hurt the blessing. Because thankfulness is part of the of operating in the blessing. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It's He that gave you the power to get that. You mean God gave me the power to get that piece of junk I got? See? That wasn't the way you thought about it when you got it. It beats walking. Hallelujah. It beats riding a bike. It beats riding a donkey. You better be thankful. And then God can, if you don't forget him, he can bring it up some more. I've had people show me their vehicles over the years, and they were so excited about them. And I'd rejoice with them. Thank God. Thank God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that's the way it ought to be. Amen. Yeah. You know, when God blesses us with something. You know, maybe I had something that was even nicer, but I didn't go, well, y'all see what I got. I'm excited with them. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes kids will give me stuff they do in children's church, you know. And when I see their some of them, I'll take it home. I'll put it on the refrigerator for a while, you know. And they'll collar something back in children's church or something, and they'll bring it to Pastor. I want to give you this. I mean, to them, it's a Picasso. It's worth 50 mil. Now I don't look at it and say, "Well, you got out of the lines." Come on, what kind of idiot is that that does that? There's people that do that. Yeah. What kind of idiot is that? You value it. You realize that no, they shouldn't quit their day job yet. But to them, it's precious, right? Yeah. And that's the way you're to treat it. Now, you know, as they get older, now if Dustin brings me something today, I'm going to say, Jill, come and get him. Get him. Get your husband. Because, see, I know he has more of a blessing on his life, and he could do more than that. Now, me, I can't. I can't even make good stick men. I can tell you one gift I don't have, artistry. Are you following what I'm saying? See, don't belittle what you have. Thank God for it and remember the Lord your God. Now, I'm going to close with this. You don't have to go there. I'll just read it to you, all right? Did you get something today? All right. Let me read this to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just read this. This is what the psalmist said. If you want to go there, you can. We're not going to preach on it. We're going to just read it. We're going to move on here. Psalm 115, verse 12 says, "The Lord's been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron." Now listen to this. "He will bless them that fear the Lord." That's us. "Both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. That sounds to me like God wants us blessed. He wants His blessing on us. Don't compare yourself. Paul said, don't compare yourself with other people. If you do that, he said, that's not wise. That's not smart. Don't forget the Lord. Look what He did for you. I remember the first house Phyllis and I had. She already had it when we got married. She'd bought in a house and was living there, and it was like $22,000. $22,000. It wasn't a big house. Had three bedrooms. You know, one bathroom. And the laundry room was in the kitchen. So if you got your clothes dirty, you just toss them right over there. You got a stain on her. You need to go put that in the hamper right there. There's a washing machine. You know? Now, $22,000... I might be able to get the driveway on my house. Maybe some trees and some landscaping done. See, things have changed. But you don't look back and you don't treat something like that as invaluable. I mean, if someone blesses me with $5 a day, I'm just as excited about it. I'm just gonna be just as happy with and thank God just as much as I would if it had been $5,000, because I consider it the blessing. And I'm telling the truth. Just sometimes people just, you know, give you a Pentecostal handshake. Pentecostal handshake means there's money in it. And, you know, there's been times it's been a lot. There's been times it's been a lot. But, you know, here's what I know. I value that seed no matter what it is. That's the blessing of the Lord. If I don't do that and I treat God what God's blessed me with, you know what I'm saying? This doesn't count. Doesn't matter. And there's been times, really, some of the smaller offerings have really blessed me the most, because I knew the person that gave it. They're like that widow woman with their last two mites. Yeah. I knew it cost them a lot of money. I knew it was a sacrifice, but I wanted to give it back to them. Matter of fact, there's been times I've thought about it, and the Lord said, don't do that. You know, instead of saying, well, you know, you can't afford to give. Well, neither could that little widow woman. But Jesus let her give, and I'm sure she got blessed off of it. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blessing. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.